It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. Here is a live version of Mighty God. Mighty God was originally written for me by my brother, Arlington Jones, but this version, as I said, is live. It's by myself and Jordash Grant. Sit back and enjoy.
We'll be right back.
name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I have my good friend Vicki McMurray with me as co-host today. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Thank you, Carla.
Well, our show, Every Heart, Every Woman, is a program of Love Ministries. And Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries on their website. It's loveministriesbuilds.org. And Amy, well, Vicki and I, I'm jumping the gun here, which I do sometimes. Vicki and I have our good friend,
we do,
Amy Bales, in co-hosting.
Hello.
With us.
Amy's in the house.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
We're so excited. We have wanted to put a microphone in front of Amy Bales for several years.
Not the singing microphone.
Well, you know what? We got a good microphone. It may not be the singing microphone, but we got a good microphone in front of you.
Yes, we do.
So Amy is our friend from our church, from Highland Park United Methodist Church. Amy is married to Jason Bales. He is on our worship team with us, and I call Jason JB because he's a star. And Amy is a mom of three boys. Mm-hmm. She doesn't. And she runs the house. Mm-hmm. And her house is spectacular. She's a great cook and a great host. I'm saying all the stuff that I enjoy about Amy.
She's got hospitality.
She's got great hospitality. And she loves her community and loves to serve the body of Christ. So thank you so much for being here,
Amy. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm just pumped about this afternoon to be with Carla and Vicki, and just super excited. And even more so, I am so excited to get to introduce our guest today, and that is Jerita Williams. So how I know Jerita is not, I'm going to tell you a few things about her. Right now, she is the Associate Director of the North Texas Conference's Center of Missional Outreach. She has her bachelor's in speech pathology and audiology and her master's in elementary education. She is a former public school teacher and youth minister. And how I know Jerita is she taught my boys, two of my three boys, in fifth grade. And it was one of those things in Sunday school. I taught with her a couple of times one year, and I knew from just those two off chances I got to be there that I had to do it the next year every single week. She is one of those people, and I hope that everybody can hear this in her today and get to feel this, but she is filled on her. When things are awesome, you feel this joy, this real joy that comes out of her. And guess what? On the days that are not awesome, you feel that exact same joy.
Wow.
And you know absolutely what I watched week after week was she is authentic and she is real and she is 100% filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right.
And that is Jerita.
All right.
Awesome. Jerita Williams, welcome, girl.
Like, who is this woman?
My goodness, you made me tear up a little bit. I missed you.
Yeah. Aww. So it's good to be here. So I'm so glad to be with you ladies today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Jerita didn't know that Amy was going to be here.
Right.
We surprised Jerita.
It is the highlight of my summer because Amy is here. Yeah.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Well, wonderful. So, Amy, do you have a question you want to ask?
Well, so just kind of coming off of that, I know the year that I got to watch you teach and pour into these children, and without even knowing it, you were pouring into the adults also in that room. Where does that come from with you? I know lots of things have happened, but where does that faith come? Where does that you know, every single week you started off saying there might be people in your life who are going to question your faith, and you have to believe this and know it. You have to know the gospel. Where does that come from?
Right off the gate. That's a big question.
Dive in.
Oh, there's so many elements, I think, from where that came. I grew up with two parents who played no games about church,
mm-hmm.
played no games about God. My dad used to always say, there's two things we don't play about. There's God and business. God is too holy and business is too important. And so I think, and then I have a mother who was a teacher, and she's a retired teacher now. And come from aunts who retired teachers mm-hmm. and a grandma who held it down when everybody else couldn't or wouldn't. And so I think the faith that I grew up with on both sides of my family, both maternally and paternally, about the God who carried us through. You know, mm-hmm. I come from a background of people who were enslaved, and so God was faithful to bring us through. And my parents made sure that we understood our history and how God has been faithful from Egypt to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, from where I'm from, Roll Tide. So those are some things that were instilled in me to know the truth about who God is, no matter what, and no matter the situation or the things that would come our way. And so I would say, as a child, you know, I've been in church however long I've been living, plus mm-hmm. 9 months, because right. my mom didn't right. skip right. church because she was pregnant, you know.
Right.
So
right.
From a baby to, you know, I'd say, you know, 12 or 13 or 10 or 11 maybe, you know, you always heard about God, but it wasn't until my college age where I started to begin this relationship where I'm like, oh, God, I can be in relationship with you.
Yes.
Like, you love me in spite of what I've done, what I've said, who I am, because that was pretty rough sometimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
still can be, you know, and still, you know, it's a sinner saved by grace. And so, you know, just trusting that God in his faithfulness and his love is relentless toward us. And I learned a lot about that when my brother had an accident. I was about 25 or so, and he lives with traumatic brain injury now because of it. He was 16. He's 7 years mm-hmm. younger than me. And so, you know, I just trust that God carried us through then, and he'll carry us through whenever. So when I'm before young people, but when I'm before fifth graders, I have to say to them that this life is not going to always be easy. It's not going to always be a fifth grade life.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But you have to have an anchor so deep down that's beyond you and beyond your family that you can't go too far away from it if you ever stray away. So,
mm-hmm. you know, I was thinking, you know, my parents were like that. We went to church every
that's
single
right.
Sunday.
That's right. That's right.
We never missed
There's
a Wednesday.
No skipping. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we never missed, you know, choir rehearsal, whatever day that was, and, mm-hmm. you know, all of the other things. Times have changed now.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So what would you say to families who are, you know, trying to set up their life, saying, okay, I do want to raise children who mm-hmm. love the Lord. How important is church?
I think church, well, Christ died for it.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
it's pretty important if he yes. laid down his life for this body to carry out his mission in his absence, right? So I believe that I'm a super sensitive woman. And as a child, I used to come home crying to my mom like, they're not my friends. And mm-hmm. mom would be like, well, you probably ain't going to have about four or five real friends in the
right.
rest. I'm like, well, thanks, Mom.
Right.
And I remember saying to her one time, you know, when she was, you know, giving me the proper discipline that I didn't approve of in my, you know,
right.
second grade, third grade
right.
mind. I remember saying to her, you're not my friend. And she said, you're exactly right. I'm your mother.
Right.
And so those are, and you know, when I was, I didn't like to eat a lot of food. I loved candy when mm-hmm. I was a little girl,
I had
right?
one like that.
It's like that, right? Mm-hmm. Because candy mm-hmm. is sweet to your, you
right.
know.
Chocolate.
And so that's what you mm-hmm. just want. You just want candy, and that's what I would spend my money on. Save it up to just spend it on candy.
Sounds
and
good to me.
It is like.
I'm kind of still that way.
I am that way still. You know, I'm an adult now. I can buy it when I want
exactly.
to, and I do.
Exactly.
But I remember my mom telling me, you can't live off of candy,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have parents in your life to set the standard. Mm-hmm. You're the mom, you're the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, I know when I was growing up, I didn't like going to church every Sunday.
Right. right. Me either.
But there was this standard in my mm-hmm. household.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my dad bought this picture, and it said, as for me and my house, it's Joshua.
Yes.
I can't remember the chapter at the moment. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And mm-hmm. I remember him nailing it to the wall and bringing us all in there. And was like, this is what we're going to do in our house. And we play no games about that.
Yeah.
And so there was no question of, are we going to church?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one thing is, they didn't just send us.
they went with us. Mm-hmm. Sunday school, mm-hmm. BTU, Baptist mm-hmm. Training Union is mm-hmm. what I grew up, Missionary Baptist. All of those things were something that they were a part of as well. So it was a family affair. And, you know, growing up, I didn't, you know, I wasn't aware that, you know, it's just like, oh, okay. But there were no compromises about mm-hmm. that. And so, and it was the same way with their work ethic, though. So it wasn't just the spiritual things. It was just that the way that they lived their lives. And for me, that was just normal.
Right.
It may not have been for everybody, and I didn't realize it wasn't for everybody, right. you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was just the normal. And so there was no question about, are we going to Sunday school this morning? It's, we're just getting up. It's Sunday morning. Dad's right. cooking breakfast. Mama's getting the girls' hair yes. ready, and mm-hmm. we're out the door yes. because that's yes. just... There are no questions about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just so just be the parent and let them be yes. mad at you.
Yeah.
And be okay
and
with it.
They'll
yes.
be all right. They'll be okay with them being mad at yeah. you. They will get over yes. it. And then when they're 25, they'll remember, oh, this is what we do. And allowing the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit and not you. Just saying these are the
ooh,
these
that's
are the
a bad. Good statement. I like yeah. that.
yeah. We have to trust that God is the perfect parent, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Adam and Eve still walked away from him.
Right.
Right.
Right. So we could do everything. Well, not we. I'm not a parent. But parents can do everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And their children could still walk away. We have to entrust that to God.
Yes.
He's big enough. He yes. is big enough
yes.
to draw all of us back in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So just because I went to church every Sunday didn't mean that I had a relationship with God. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I still mm-hmm. walked away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. he wooed me back in. And yes. I had something on the inside of me
right.
to say, oh, you got to come back.
Right.
Yeah, you got to
right.
come back. It can't go too far.
Right.
So that's the prayers that we pray. That's why mothers and fathers have to go beyond what we see and go beyond and go into your prayer closets
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, I'm going down on my knees for my three boys, and I'm mm-hmm. going to make sure that the friends that they're around, that God is using them in some kind of way, that a mm-hmm. stranger will walk by and angels will come by to say, hey, you need to get off the street because this is not what God's called you to, because you've been in church all your life and you
right.
know better than that.
Right.
The Holy Spirit can do that every single time. He
Amen.
Did it for me. And I know
Amen.
That he'll do it for children that Amen. Are struggling with their parents now.
Amen.
Would you like an 18-year-old?
Bring them on. Oh, I take them from 6 weeks to 92.
I'm just thinking of an 18 and 22-year-old that, you know.
Yeah,
no.
I get it.
It's a battle. It's a I mean, it really is a struggle. And it is constant prayer. And it is constant, you know, communication with God about, I mean, I'm. Have had moments where I'm begging him, please, you know, bring them back, woo them back, grab them at the scruff of their neck and bring them back to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a good point because I was raised in the church. We went to church every Sunday. My kids were raised that way. Doesn't mean you're going to stay engaged with him.
It's not a guarantee.
No, it is not a guarantee.
We want guarantees.
Yes,
that's,
we do.
We're people obsessed with certainty. One of my profs said that, and it's one of the things that just carries me through life, and trusting that God is the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God, and it's those children belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know what, God, you see my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You see my son. I only birthed them into this world.
Right.
They belong to you.
Yeah.
And when we continue to release that and say, you know, well, I can't say it tritely because
right,
I don't
right,
have
right.
children.
Right.
But what I do believe is that we have to continue to lay it before the Lord. There are desires and expectations as a single woman
sure.
that I do have
sure.
that I have to release to God and say, you know what? I'm just going to lay this on down before you and
absolutely.
Trust that you know the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so trusting that God sees your children, has gone before them, has made crooked places straight for them, because you are praying. God is a prayer answering, hearing God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he doesn't answer it like, well, I'll say this. He never answers it like I
would. Yeah, I know, me either. It's never fast enough.
And it's never, ever fast enough. I'm like, are you like, hello, God? Yeah, the time is ticking.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing, Jesus?
Yes.
You know, so, you know, finding patience is not the easiest thing,
no.
particularly when you have a love for God. You just
yes.
want you want the world to know about
yes.
this God,
mm-hmm.
especially your children,
yes.
you know, and they, it's like, we're not going to allow the enemy to win that war. God's got it.
Yep. That's yeah. beautiful. Well, I actually want, so you were saying a professor said this to you, what you said a second ago. So I want to talk a little bit about DTS.
Hmm.
Tell us about your experiences. Tell
you
us
sure?
about, yes.
yes. DTS has been highs and lows.
Well, maybe tell them what the acronym, not everybody's going to know what DTS
yeah.
is that's listening.
So I'm a seminary
yes.
student. So I've been in seminary for the last three years. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'll be done prayerfully May 2019. If there are any saints out there that are praying, I need you to pray, okay?
Holler out to the saints.
Please. So, Dallas Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm. So that's what actually brought me to Dallas.
Okay.
And I was a living companion for an 82-year-old who had dementia for the first 2.5 years of my seminary career. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what brought me to HPUMC. Okay. I was just kind of browsing our jobs board, and HPUMC was on there hiring Sunday school teachers. And I said, well, I love children. I love to teach. And then I can get paid to do that in the church again. Oh, let's do that. Right. So it was so fabulous to be a part of the community of HPUMC. But Dallas Theological Seminary has been a beautiful experience. And beauty comes from struggle. Mm-hmm. And beauty also comes from ease sometimes. But I think that God has been faithful to form me in these last 3 years, and I'm grateful for it. A lot of that growing up in the church has a whole lot to do with your stamina, mm-hmm. with making it through seminary. Seminary wow. can be a desert, so you better take your water with you.
Wow.
And so you need to figure out in seminary what it is you actually believe, because there will be a lot of deconstructing of the things that you thought were.
Interesting.
Yeah, a lot of the things that you may have thought were theologically amazing, mm-hmm. There will be deconstructing of that. But God is a constructor of those things that he's torn down in mm-hmm. order for you to see a broader picture mm-hmm. of who he is. So DTS has taught me a whole lot, and I'm grateful for the experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you became the first woman to be student body president. Is that correct?
I did. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. God is.
So are you currently the student body president?
I am no longer the. Ma'am. Yeah. It was an amazing year. That was the 2017-2018 mm-hmm. school year. So I just released those responsibilities. Okay. But when I received my full-time position, I said, oh, something has to go, because the way that I wanted to operate and move in leading the student body, I was a full-time job for me. So mm-hmm. I said, well, I'll get paid bills. I can pay my bills with the full-time position.
Yes.
Right.
And it was something that I could not pass up
right.
With the position that I have as the mm-hmm. associate director. So I just mm-hmm. kind of switched gears a little
okay.
bit. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what were you able to, so you talked about how the way that you wanted to lead. So talk a little bit about your leadership and what you were able to do.
Yeah, a few of the things that was dear to my heart was allowing the student body to really feel like a family, mm-hmm. to feel like they weren't just students who are adults who are coming on campus and then leaving campus. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of community silos, and I wanted to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. So it was perfect to allow God to help us to transform the student center. Mm-hmm. And so it was set up in a way that wasn't, I would say, conducive for conversation.
Right.
Wasn't necessarily conducive for a warm, inviting feeling. Mm-hmm. I was a commuter, I still am, a commuter to campus. And so there weren't many places for commuters to really just hang out and mm-hmm. have fun. So we implemented a pool table, a foosball table. I'm not a foosball table. I'm sorry. Ping pong table.
Oh, ping pong.
And a TV. Mm-hmm. And we also rearranged the furniture in order for it to be more conducive for like a coffee house feel.
Okay.
And then the president has the opportunity to curate 5 chapels, student chapels. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the most stretching things for me. And so had the opportunity to do racial equity and mm-hmm. Racial awareness. Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing chapel that I got to lead, and I did embodiment. I went to Italy last year, and embodiment was such a powerful opportunity for seminary students to come out of the books. Mm-hmm. You know, we read a lot,
right.
like 1,000 right. pages of class. So sometimes it's hard to get out of your head when you're a seminary student. Mm-hmm. And so embodiment was something that was super important for me. And so we did a chapel around that. We did a chapel around depression, particularly we did it for Christmas time, around mm-hmm. Christmas time, because there are a lot of international students
yes.
who aren't able
yes.
to go home.
Yes.
There are students like me who live about 8.5 hours away from home who just aren't able to go there. And mm-hmm. so there's some depression that comes within that season, and just, you know, in general. So one of our professors, one of my professors actually, suffers from depression. Mm-hmm. And so he spoke, and it just broke so many chains, I think, with seminary students who are, you know, have to check off every box to make sure life is perfect. And, you know, we're training to be ministers, leaders in ministry, senior pastors. And a lot of times they don't want to confess that they're struggling through darkness.
Right.
And so God used that in many ways. And then we did sexual addiction. We did one of those chapels, and we did another that I cannot remember at the moment.
Okay.
But it was a powerful, powerful year for me. And I'm grateful that I got the opportunity to
do
it.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Like
Amy said, I mean, we can really tell that you care about, you know, the body of Christ, and that you really want to minister to the heart of people. So, yeah, that's wonderful. We've got so many more questions. We've got some more conversation that will come. But let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. I have my good friend Vicki McMurray co-hosting with me today. Thank you, Vicki.
Yeah, thank you. But we got a special co-host with us today.
We have a very special co-host with us today, Amy Bales. We've given her a microphone.
This is very dangerous. I know everyone in here is worried. They're shaking. I might sing.
I'm excited. Oh, no, I'm not going to shake. If you sing. I'm just happy you're here.
Yeah, break out in song. That's fine. That's fine. And then we have been chatting with Jerita Williams, and Jerita has been wonderful, deep, taking us through some stuff. We need to write some notes.
I have been.
Vicky's been writing.
Hey.
We've been writing notes. And so on the break, Amy, you brought up a question that you wanted Jerita to jump into.
I did. A few minutes ago, you were talking about a time that you were going into that you referred to as a desert. And I continue to hear so many women talk about that similar time in their life right now, that they are going through a desert. And I loved how you said, when you go through a desert, you've got to bring your water. And so I would love to know, what is your water? What do you bring to the desert to get through it?
You know, there are a few things that I can think about when you asked me that. One thing is that you can't prepare for the desert in the desert. You have to have some water continually. And so I when I think about what was my water, I thought about 1998 when I visited my dad's mom. You know, when I would come home from school, college, I would visit my you know, my people, you know. And I would just make sure I tried to visit my grandmother, because my maternal grandmother died when I was in the 10th grade. And so as I got older, I was like, I really need to appreciate these people who are older than me, right? And so tried to visit my aunts and people. And so when I came home one time, the summer before my senior year, I was visiting my grandmother, and the Bible would always be out on her end table. And so I looked and I said, Grandma, have you know, read the whole Bible? And she's like, yeah, like, duh. Like,
of course.
And then she was like, and you haven't? And I was like, right. Well, no, not really. You know, the only time that I would read was when my mom and dad would make us and say, hey, go up there and you need to read the scripture, or you need to memorize this for a particular competition or what have you. But I never read the Bible from cover to cover. And so it was a challenge. I wasn't trying to change. I wasn't trying to be holy. I wasn't trying to get to know God or anything. I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to read this book this summer. You know, it's just like another book to me. At that moment, but it was God wooing me, because the word of God will change you whether you're trying to change or not.
Right.
And so that was 1998. My brother had his accident in 2001. And so God had started to prepare me for the things that were coming. And there would be words that would come out of the Bible that I couldn't come up with myself, but I had been reading consistently, because I challenged myself. I said, I'm going to just read a chapter every day. It didn't matter where I was, what I was doing. You know, I was in college, so I was still turning up, okay? Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what turning up means, okay? I was in the clubs. I was right. doing this thing, yep, that right. thing, and the other. But every night, it didn't matter if I was smelling like smoke. I would come and I would sit on my little twin bed at Tennessee State University, and I would read the word of God. And so when I think about my life, that's what my water is. The word of God says that rivers of water will come from your belly. That's mm-hmm. what Jesus says. And so if we continually, consistently read the word of God and trust what it says about who this Savior is, because that's what all the Bible is. It's pointing us to who the Son of the living God is. If we continue to trust what he says, continue to be consistent in what it says, then it will carry you through the roughest times. Yeah. And so I think about DTS, and I think about, because you're studying, you're deconstructing the Bible right. every day.
Okay.
And so you could get sick of the Bible.
Hmm.
You could get sick of the Bible when you're in seminary because you're just in it all the time. And so I had to have something deeper before I got there mm-hmm. in order for that to not be the case. You have to remember that when you're studying the Bible, you're studying the one who wrote the Bible.
Right.
And that's the creator one. Mm-hmm. And so you're always in awe of him, not so much of all of these words that confuse you. And if you're in Greek and, you know, Hebrew, you're right. really like, okay, what's really going on, God?
Right.
However, instead of parsing and all of this stuff and like always deconstructing and trying to figure out what God is saying, just closing it sometimes and just worshiping him, mm-hmm. playing songs and mm-hmm. music, mm-hmm. worship, that's my water. Mm-hmm. Singing when you can't sing, hello.
Just do it anyway.
Do it anyway. Sing like nobody's listening and dance like nobody's listening. Right. I talked about embodiment earlier, being with people. Mm-hmm. My sister girls got me through mm-hmm. many a night. Mm-hmm. And so mothers... we're all talking to just mothers. I'm not quite sure.
Moms, women.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking because if you're struggling and you're going through a desert, you need your girlfriends.
You do. Yeah.
And you need
yourself.
Your guy friends. If you yes, have you guy do. Friends, if you have healthy mm-hmm. relationships, you need the people. Mm-hmm. And that's what God created community. And it comes from who he is, right? Mm-hmm. Who God is. God is the triune one, mm-hmm. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that's an eternal community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means they never leave each other. They never leave each other.
Mm. So there's power.
That means that, right. So that means that when we're in community, we're in HPUMC, that means that, or whatever your local church is, whatever your community is, you don't leave each other.
Mm.
Why? Because God created us to be in community. He said that it's not good for man to be alone. He wasn't meaning that it's not good for man to not ever be married. He means right. that it's not good for us to be isolated.
Right. Yes. Which is, you know, it's easy to be the Christian Vicky on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good at it. I think I actually have it down pretty well.
Oh, yes.
But it's walking out on Monday when I mm-hmm. get tripped up with some obstacle that's happened, or I feel like I have had a spiritual attack on my thinking mm-hmm. or, you know, so it's just going for that water, whether it's my music I'm listening to mm-hmm. or I just found a great Bible app that mm-hmm. I'm listening to scripture on and or listening to sermons. Carla and I talk a lot about that. We listen mm-hmm. to sermons mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm just constantly saturating myself with that. And if I didn't have that water, I don't even know what life would be like, honestly. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Because in isolation, I think that's when you're more susceptible to, in any time, but especially in isolation, you're more susceptible to the lies mm-hmm. of the enemy without, mm-hmm. you
yes,
know,
ma'am.
Having your community to say, well, actually, here's the truth.
Here's mm-hmm.
Let
the
me
truth.
Point you back.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Get you back in line.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was talking, having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was saying he was trying to explain something to his girlfriend. And so then I was like, you need her girlfriends to, you know, sit down and have a good conversation, mm-hmm. like a open
mm-hmm. right.
conversation mm-hmm. about that. Because, yeah. you know, we listen to the our trusted girlfriends.
Kind of our tribe.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our mm-hmm. tribe that is constantly leading us back to the Lord, they won't let us be what I call sorry. They won't let
yes.
us be sorry.
Yes.
They'll tell us the truth.
Absolutely.
You know, we
yes.
need that. Mm-hmm.
We do need that. Okay, well, I want to jump around because it's something that we were talking about before you even got here, and I'm curious to see if this is a place I was a few hours before you were. Were you at an airport and something happened in Florida?
Yeah.
Which airport were you in?
So at Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, it was. Mm-hmm. I was in that airport 12 to 24 hours right before
You're
it happened.
You're kidding me.
And it was right after Christmas.
Yes, it was. Uh-huh. It was January 7th uh-huh. or 6th or 7th.
My family and I went to Fort Lauderdale for right after Christmas for several days, we literally. I remember waking up the next day or the mm-hmm. day after, whatever it was, and thinking. We were just in that airport. Mm-hmm. So do you mind sharing about that experience just a little bit? And
Yeah. So another DTS connection actually is a good friend of mine. And they met, I was there for a wedding. Mm-hmm. And they met at DTS. And so me and another one of her friends were going to meet up there. Mm-hmm. So I got to Fort Lauderdale probably about 10:30 that morning or so. And I'm just kind of waiting around because my girlfriend's plane didn't come until maybe like 2-ish or something mm-hmm. like that. Or maybe like 12. I can't remember the times now, but just kind of in the airport waiting for her. And so she gets there and I go to the terminal, Delta terminal, to wait on her. And we're just kind of hanging out, trying to figure out what we're going to do because where the wedding took place was about an hour and a half mm-hmm. or so from the airport. And so we're just like, hey, do we want to go eat? Do we want to hang around here? Do we want to take an Uber? Do we want to take a taxi? You know, mm-hmm. just talking about the goodness of the Lord and how right. he had paid something for her. I remember that being like the last thing that we were talking about. And in the middle of that conversation, I hear a pop, pop, pop.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that it's construction because mm-hmm. it was some work
there
being
was,
done.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I look up and there's a man who's opening fire on probably about two sections up from us in baggage claim.
Mm.
Yeah, and so we're running for our lives and, you know, just trying to get out of there as fast as we can. And by the grace of God, we did. But there were about five or six people who died and 12 people who were injured, I think. And so I think one thing that we don't realize when traumatic events like that happen, like when you have a Parkland or you mm-hmm. have a Mother Emanuel killing mm-hmm. Going on, is the continual trauma that those people who did not die or who weren't injured mm-hmm. walk through. Mm-hmm. So there's really not a day that
like a guilt.
No,
I guess guilt's too strong of a word.
Because God's gracious.
Right.
I don't know, you know, why he spares some and why some are not. But there's just real life trauma mm-hmm. that continues to impact your life. Because you like probably every 2 or 3 months, we'll get some correspondence about the trial and all of that. So it brings all that back up.
Sure.
Just different things that, you know, it's still kind of hard when I hear you know, a shooting that's gone on in a school because mm-hmm. I was a teacher. You know, mm-hmm. I used to sub as well. I used mm-hmm. to be in schools a lot more when I was a youth pastor. So all of those things always weigh on my mind. Yeah, they're just different dynamics that kind of play into that. And so I always tell people whenever there's a shooting or something like that happens, don't just pray for the ones that are in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the ones that have seen and
survivors.
Witnessed it and survived.
Yes.
There are so many people. There were cruises that were going to mm-hmm, go on. Mm-hmm. There were so many people that were there
mm-hmm.
That bullets scraped their hair. You mm-hmm. know, there's gun powder in their bags and mm-hmm. things like that. And, you know, just like I'll never forget his face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things that, you know, people we really don't think about until, you know, it kind of happens mm-hmm. to you.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was bizarre that
we're both in the same airport. That is pretty crazy.
I know.
Yeah. Well, Jerita, you, I guess since April, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since April, you have been the associate director of the North Texas Conference's Center of Missional Outreach. And so I know that that's kind of brand new for you, but mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about
your focus there and your role and what you're trying to accomplish?
I would love to.
Okay. All right.
So as the associate director, I focus on 1+1. And 1+1 is a church school partnership initiative that was started by Bishop McKee in 2015.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah, so we're breathing new life into that initiative. And our hope and our desire is to have every single church partner with the school. So we're in partnership with First UMC Dallas. Mm-hmm. 1+1 Dallas is specifically for the DISD, mm-hmm. Okay. Getting those schools partnered. But my position is to help all of the churches in the North Texas Conference be partner with schools. So either starting, deepening, or expanding a partnership with mm-hmm. the church. And so our hope at the CMO is to help churches be in ministry with their neighbors, mm-hmm. Not to be a savior for their community, right. but to come in and to build and to work with cultural competency. That's part mm-hmm. of what my heart's desire is as associate director, and to work with racial equity and gender equity. And those things are some of the things that we're operating and moving in order to work against educational inequity. So okay. that's what church school partnerships is, something that we're hoping to continue to do. And I also, part of my responsibilities is disaster relief.
Okay.
And so I'm the disaster relief coordinator as well for the North Texas Conference. Yeah.
So wow. I'm curious, Carla and I both are former school teachers.
We are.
Did not know that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Holler mm-hmm. for the teachers. And so I'm just curious, you know, with the racial restoration and just sort of that bridge, mm-hmm. Building that bridge, how are you going to, I mean, can you give me an example? Not how are you going to do it, because all, you know, like, how are you going to do it, Tarita?
Right, brick by brick.
Brick by brick, sister, right. absolutely. Right. Some are heavier than others.
Oh, just a little.
So I'm just trying to, I'm thinking I live out in East Texas in a small mm-hmm. town, and we're in the North Texas Conference. We don't have that yet, so I'm definitely want to make that happen. But you know, can you give me some examples of, you know, what are some things that you're hoping to do in the schools? Because I know just from like the Church Highland Park Methodist, the youth pastors would come and volunteer, mm-hmm. and you probably as a youth pastor, mm-hmm. you come in and volunteer in the schools, and you can't really preach too much in the schools, but you That's right. certainly be a mentor and visit mm-hmm. and, you know, make a difference in a myriad of ways. Mm-hmm. But with this whole racial restoration, we certainly need it in my town. What is an example of something?
So what I'm finding, what I'm working on right now is just really listening well to churches.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
What are you already doing?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I'm finding that churches are like, well, we're not doing much. And then I come to them, I'm like, but you're doing this, this, this. And yes, right. you are. No. You know, yes. like you're doing a lot yes. with, mm-hmm. with 40 members, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. and so part of what my hope is to move churches from transactional mm-hmm. mission and ministry to relational mm-hmm. Ministry. Mm-hmm. And what that does, it takes a lot of tools to do that. And so part of my position is to help churches identify what those tools can be. So right. we do have cultural intelligence, and part of that work will be racial equity, will mm-hmm. be educational equity, mm-hmm. and will be cultural competency. And so okay. we're using some of those tools that, I don't know, you know, Reverend Maria Dixon Hall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or Dr.
Hoping to have her on the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to make sure I'm tuning in every Sunday. Well, every Sunday.
I haven't met her yet. I'm kind of nervous to meet her. My mom loves her.
She's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. So the conference is working through the cultural intelligence to make sure that our churches are, you know, aware and that we're doing we're not doing harm, but we're mm-hmm. helping.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of missional doctrine or theology has done some harm, mm-hmm. and so helping churches to see how to build trust.
Oh, nice.
Because of those divides, mm-hmm. because of those church school divides, religion sure. state divides that have happened, and racial divides that have happened. So mm-hmm. we're hearing a lot about, yeah, we want that cultural competency piece. And then also is moving them from transactional to relational, and then advocacy. Educational advocacy is something that is really important for us to mm-hmm. Understand. And so what are the policies that are coming out of Austin? What are the policies policies that are affecting or impacting our particular area because of the policies of city council or because of the of the school board. And so helping churches and helping people who are interested and who love children, who love school, but they may not want a mentor.
Right.
They may not have time to go read, but they may go read with a child.
Right.
But they may have time to research and understand or get some research and understand how we can advocate for good policies that would alleviate or that would destroy the inequities that have been intentionally in place for students not to thrive. And so those are some of the things that we're working through and working on in order for churches to be in partnership with schools.
That's not a little bit.
That's a lot.
Of course not, but would I do a little bit?
No, that's true. As I'm getting to know you.
No. We don't serve a little bit God.
We don't. Right. Amen to that. We don't.
Well, Amy told us that Amy's like, what? That the purple. Has a very special meaning to
the
you. So share with us what.
It's crazy. It's one of the craziest stories. So one of my favorite artists of all time is Prince.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I want to. Oh my gosh! You kidding? I love him.
Oh, I love him. So don't. I won't talk
Purple
about
Rain
him too
tour,
much because I still, you know, tear up a little bit because he's gone.
Oh, I know. It's so
but
sad.
But the first concert I went to in my life was a Prince concert, and I was 7 years old. See, my parents are the best parents alive. Okay,
they knew
how much I loved
him. At 18,
and
yes.
At 18, yeah. So he came to Birmingham, Alabama, and my dad got a ticket going to get some tickets because it was no Fandango.
Right, getting that ticket online.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
it wasn't any of that.
Yeah,
you had to go to the place, and you had to get out of the car, and you had to actually pay cash because they didn't do a whole lot of credit cards and all those things. So. Ended up getting to go to that concert, and I just fell in love with purple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, fell in love with the purple one, and fell in love with the color purple. I didn't know that it represented royalty. Had no idea until later on, of course. Mm-hmm. And so, I've just loved purple for a long, long time, and I rock it every chance I get.
Yes.
And that's how you know that, Amy. From when she taught Sunday school, that she was wearing purple all the time. That's my favorite color, too. It's not because of Prince, but I love it even more because of Prince.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
he's an amazing artist.
A strong connection because of Prince, but I just really love the color. Like, I don't know what it,
I
found that people who love purple, they really love purple.
Yes.
Like, when I ask people, like, what's your favorite color? And they're like, oh, green, sometimes it's blue. I'm like, oh, you don't have a color.
What's yours, burgundy and butter?
Is it
burgundy and butter? And mine was purple.
Oh, look at that.
It's
purple, and that's all. I had a whole purple room growing up. I had purple carpet, purple paint, purple comforter. Everything was purple. And I would wear it every day if it wouldn't drive my family nuts.
Crazy, yeah. Yeah, I try not to go overboard, but I'm going to have a splash somewhere normally sometimes.
Okay.
See, you can rock a purple lipstick. I can't do that.
You could do that. You so cool.
Just do it. All right. Next time you see me.
We're going to get you some purple lipstick.
There we go. Jerita, quickly, before we have to wrap up. Sorry that we have to wrap up. But
this
before we have to wrap up, can you share with us in just a couple of minutes about the spiritual practices that you do every day, just for everyone listening, just to give some people some ideas on how to stay connected to the Lord as a practice every day.
Yeah, and please, when I say this, I want everyone listening to really take this as just a suggestion, because sometimes we can say, oh, this is what she does, and feel guilty if you're not doing.
No.
Yeah, we don't want to. I don't want anyone to feel guilty about how they connect with the Lord, and it changes for me in seasons.
Sure.
And this season has been a really, really weighty season in so many areas. I've been in a lot of grief about a lot of things, and so it really does change. And so in this season, I grew up Missionary Baptist, and so there are a lot of old hymns that I listen to every day, and they bring me back home. Mm-hmm. So Dallas isn't home for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've been here about 3 years, and there's a lot of distance between my family and me, and so it makes me feel like
I'm home. And so, and home for me is not just Tuscaloosa. Home for, you know yes. what home is. Yes. And so that's one of the things that I've found myself doing. And I had to really journal as to, like, what's going on with that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I listening to it? And I figured it out by the grace of God and the communion with the Holy Spirit as, oh, this is why. And so just journaling thoughts, that's really something. I don't do it every day, mm-hmm. But it's certainly something that I do. I try to do it at least once or twice a week to make sure that I'm feeling what I feel and I'm all right with whatever it is I'm feeling. Okay. So I'm feeling high, if I'm feeling low, if I'm feeling good, feeling bad, it's all right. God is faithful. God is still God. He's still good. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I'm going through, no matter what my emotions are at this moment, it won't always be that way. So mm-hmm. I make sure I, you know, channel that through God. And if I'm banging my fist at the Lord, then it's all good, too, because he's big enough to handle the banging fist. Yes. Right. Yes. So I try to do that. And then every day I try to do scripture, try to read something that says who God is. Mm-hmm. I try not to do topical. I try to do something that a consistent basis. And yes. so I'm in Isaiah 58 is the chapter that I'm in now because of a particular fast I'm on for mm-hmm. some reasons. And mm-hmm. so that has really been food for my soul. Mm-hmm. So, but that doesn't mean that you have to do the Word of God every day. It doesn't mean that you have to do songs every day. Be creative with how you worship mm-hmm. the yes, Lord. Be creative yes. with how you enter into relationship. I mean, there's a big old world out there. There's a big universe.
Lots of resources.
So many resources.
I know, which is beautiful.
Yeah, but those are just three things that I kind of mm-hmm. like. The journaling, songs, like music is my world, mm-hmm. And reading scripture. Those are some consistent things that I like to do in order to stay disciplined. And one other thing I do once a week is I do fast. I do pull away from the table because I need a word from the Lord. We're living in some really rough days, mm-hmm. and I need a word from the Lord for my life and the life of those that God has entrusted to me. So
you're doing that weekly?
I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of messages being sent to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk a lot about entertainment and, mm-hmm. you know, TV and, mm-hmm. and radio, and all the times the messages sent to us aren't the messages that we truly need to receive.
Right.
And it can be dangerous because we may be like tired, and so we turn on something mm-hmm. just to sit there and veg out, and then we end up taking in yes. something in our spirit that's not exactly
positive.
That's
right.
So I think fasting is a way mm-hmm. to
clean that
to,
up.
Yeah,
it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Just to make sure you're
and not just fasting from food sometimes too. Like that's. Of course, biblical fasting. Like, mm-hmm. they're not fasting from TV, you know, in right. Isaiah. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right.
But, you know.
But they would have.
But they, I think yes. they would have. Yes. You know, just right. pushing back from the things like social media. Like, I've taken a break from that for the last 2 months because I was just like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Just knowing, like, when your body is stressed and when your skin is, you know, bubbling mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. those are some signs for you to pull back and say, hey, we need just to push back from some different things.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. That's good. That's good. Thank you so much for this conversation. Mm-hmm. It really has been blessed. Thank you for being here with us. And thank you,
thank
Amy.
Thank y'all so
thank
much.
You,
this
sweetie.
Was so fun. So fun.
Super yes. fun.
So come back.
We'll have her back.
Again with us, Amy. And thanks for surprising Jerita.
Oh, yes. My God. What the best surprise. Aww. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Thank you.
Well, we truly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Our program, Every Heart, Every Woman Radio Show, is a program of Love Ministries. You can find out more information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And keep in contact with us on our social media mm-hmm. at EHEW Radio. We are looking for sponsorships for our show. You can email us for more information at everyheartradio@carlanivens.com. And as always, we want you to have a wonderful week. We'll see you back here next week.